These are the words I cannot speak. These are the words no one knows. These are the words I carry alone. I run through a black forest. Branches tear at my face, grabbing my hair like hands. I am breathing fierce and hard, making rasping sounds in the back of my throat, which burns with each inhalation. I focus upon one thing, speed. All other considerations are but tiny specks at the back of my mind. Faster, faster, I chant. Faster, faster still. I lose myself in the motion of legs, arms, and lungs. Me disappears, pulling away from I. Me is floating above, a watching child dressed in white, running through the night. From above, she can see the obstacles I cannot. I dodge trees and leap ravines using her vision. She sees the gap widening. My pursuers are slowly losing me. I am running until suddenly I am not. She is guiding me. How else could I stop in this ring of pines with soft needles to cushion my falling and underbrush in which to hide? She is watching my body collapsing to the ground. Our eyes close. We see nothing. That's from the first page, the opening chapter of Tapestry, Strands of Yellow in Blue by Katie Elizabeth Arnold. It's a story that opens dramatically and grabs our attention from the get-go, and then settles down, taking its time to hint at the lead character's backstories, which will develop more fully as we read deeper into the novel. While Tapestry is slow to take off with its main storyline, though that is more an illusion than a reality, as we learn as we get deeper into the story, it is a charming and emotional tale that kept me reading, wanting to know more about both the storyline and even more about the characters we meet and get to know. In brief, our story unfolds like this. A scared young girl is found wandering the forest of a kingdom, and a woodsman leading the small group of men on an autumn hunt takes pity on her and brings her home to the kingdom's castle, where the girl is placed into the care of the royal family's nursing staff. Slowly, she regains consciousness but finds herself unable to speak. Her prince-in-waiting, the noble-turned-huntsman Tristram, watches over her with compassion and interest, going so far as to help guide her nurses and gather the herbs and materials they need to care for the lost girl. Slowly engaging with the world around her, Grace regains health and begins to interact with the larger world of the castle and its nearby village. Unable to speak, she develops her own sign language, and those who care most deeply about her begin to learn her sign language as well. Grace discovers she has an incredible talent for archery, which pleases her mentor Tristram, and brings her friendship with a village girl whose kindness and village savvy helps Grace navigate her new world of royal household life, where she is seen by many as an interloper and a usurper of Tristram's affections, in the equally rough and tumble world of the village peasants. Slowly, both Grace and the noble-turned-royal huntsman Tristram come to develop a relationship beyond friendly affection. Though Tristram is bothered by their age differences, somewhere around 13, 14 years, both are still young enough, as it is said of the times in which the novel is set, to marry and have a family while maintaining social decorum. Problem is, while Tristram is of noble birth and training, no one is quite sure of Grace's background, and so it is presumed by many that she is a mere peasant, unfit, it is said, to marry into the nobility. Anxiety for both reader and characters builds. We see the story through Grace's eyes and Tristram's eyes, in mostly first-person narrative, and often alternating chapters which play on events and characters in each previous chapter. It's set in a European medieval-like time, helping the reader place the story and its characters in a world we think we know, but the mystery of Grace's origins and her muteness draws us to ask questions about just what horrendous event, as both Grace and her close friends fear, caused her to be found wandering in the forest and remain unable to speak. As another reviewer tells us, quote, Tapestry is a richly nuanced character study, given a mythical medieval setting, but informed by present-day values of women's rights and women's worth as individuals. Spoiler alert, it sensitively explores the devastating impact of sexual violence and child sexual abuse. Placing the story at a historical distance softens the outrage the reader feels and allows the reader to focus instead on the emotional dynamics of healing. End quote. Indeed, we don't get to the root of Grace's trauma until we get to know her, her huntsman, and her friends, including her would-be suitor, giving us time to understand her emotional and physical pain and making the trauma even more devastating, even if it is removed from us in time. The cover art, with its soft pastel colors, directs our eyes immediately into the story which we are about to read. The scene is from an early encounter between the girl and her huntsman, seen from the protagonist's rear as he carries her limp body towards the castle that is to become her new home. I want to finish with chapter 38, which is about midway through our story. This is seen not from Grace's eyes, but from Tristram's eyes, the huntsman who found the girl wandering in the forest. As he tells us, Grace is tortured. She seems utterly convinced that she will lose her place in my affections. My love has never been doubted before by anyone upon whom I have bestowed it, and I try to tell myself it is her past, not me, that causes her doubts. I only marginally believe this, however. I have been alone too long, I mutter. What did you say? A voice replies. I spin around in the corridor. Geneva, the nurse, is just behind me. Nothing of any importance. I was merely talking to myself. I did not realize you were there. I just came down from that hallway, she points. I see. We walk along the corridor in silence. I like that she does not ask prying questions, especially since I have no answers. When we reach the common room, I ask her if she would like to join me in a cup of tea. That would be nice, she replies. She does not speak until we are seated across from one another, stirring our tea. I have tried to imagine what life is like for Grace. It must be so difficult. I nod. Go on. How can she trust anyone or anything? The nurse asks. To know nothing of one's own past must be terrifying. How could I trust the present with no history? I do not understand what you are saying, Tristram states. That is because I am not saying it well. If I lost my past and suddenly found myself in another country with no security, I would be afraid it could happen again. What do you mean, no security? She has me. Oh, Tristram, forgive me, but that is a thing only a man could say. Enlighten me, O wise female, I beg of thee. I give her an exaggerated formal bow. She laughs and slaps my arm. Are you ever serious? Sometimes, I grin at her. Please try to explain what you mean. Of course. You see, you have your lands, your holdings, and your title. People know who you are and where you come from, your parents, your grandparents, and your history. Grace has none of that. She has your love, but it must be hard for her to trust that anything is permanent. If you had not found her when she had her nightmare and ran into the woods, I would have found her. I would never give up. Yes, I know that, and you know that, but does Grace know? Yes, I know that, and you know that, but does Grace know? What does she trust? Has she known love before? Does she know she will never be abandoned by you? Someone abandoned her. Maybe it was her mother or father or someone else who has more claim upon her than you. She must suspect it will happen again. It causes my heart to ache. When I told her I would adopt her, she said that she said that my fictitious wife would say no. I did not understand, but you are saying she feels she has no right to my wealth, no claim? Yes, and legally she does not. But if you died tomorrow, Tristram, do you think your estates would be given to her? That is what I assume. It is my wish, and I have made a will. Geneva shakes her head. She would have to marry quickly or go into a convent. Your land would be fought over, she finishes. King Stefan would protect her. He would try, but to some extent his hands would be tied. She is not your heir by blood. She is foreign. Your holdings are vast, and nobles would be jockeying to find legal claim to ownership before your body was cold. You know this, Tristram, she scolds. This should not come as a surprise to you. And Grace, does she know this? She is an astute young lady. There are ways in which she was more secure as a huntsman's adopted daughter. Tapestry. I want to give a special thanks to a friend of WBAA for encouraging me to start reading this series. This is the first in what will be 4 and maybe even 5 books in the Tapestry series. It's quite an engaging, thoughtful, and moving in so many ways read. I encourage you to pick it up, the first one in particular, Strands of Yellow and Blue. Give it a try. See what you think. Tapestry, Strands of Yellow and Blue by Katie Elizabeth Arnold. It's available at the West Lafayette Public Library.